Previously on Jerry Talks.
Out of a horrible story can come out something that is going to illuminate and change the way that we think. And this is really why we're here, to talk about your business and how you are making sure that women and girls, and now men, as you said, are no longer going to be affected by the kind of injustice that you have suffered. So maybe we can just move on to that, because honestly, this has been a lot.
The views and opinions expressed in this video cast and podcast are solely those of the speakers. Any information provided is for general informational purposes only and should not be taken as legal advice or an endorsement.
We've taken a break because I don't even know what to say. Some of you listening, maybe this is the first time you're hearing this story, and it will just be way too much to absorb. So we've taken a break. You know, Teresa, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, because honestly, this is something that must be affecting other people who are going through the exact same thing. But let's continue. As a result of this, you've started Clean Start Africa.
Yeah.
Tell us what that is, that business is, and what your aim is with it.
Mm-hmm. So my going through that injustice opened my eyes and offered me an opportunity to meet firsthand thousands and thousands of other women like me who had not been accorded justice within the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a unique case. Mm-hmm. It was unique in the sense that they truly went overboard as far as my case is concerned. However, there were many other women, and especially vulnerable, poor, marginalized women. And when I say that, I refer to, you know, women who didn't have access to education. So you could tell that they had dropped out of school before they got into contact with the legal system. They didn't have employment opportunities, you know. So you could tell that the social economic statuses of these women is a huge contributing factor to why they are being affected and impacted by the criminal justice system in this way.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I have been too deep into this system from beginning to end and coming outside, and even post being compensated for a wrongful incarceration, people are still treating me as an ex-con,
as an accused,
exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I started to think about and relate with these women who had been through this system, not because they were criminals, but because of their social economic status. So, you know, we've criminalized, for example, hawking in the streets is a criminal
offense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Loitering with intent is a criminal offense. So we've criminalized some of the things that really don't have a criminal aspect. It's they've got a survival aspect,
because people are trying to make a living.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the root cause of why they committed the offense, is survival, is the poverty.
Yeah.
So I was like, so how about we deal with the root cause so that they do not come into contact with the criminal justice system?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also, as we are navigating that, for the criminal justice system, say to them, how about we decriminalize and change our laws so that the police and prosecution don't have to prosecute someone because they were hawking, because they were loitering, and address it in a non-custodial manner, or address it through alternative dispute resolution.
So how are you doing this? Is it both a lobbying part plus the action part. How are you doing it?
Doing it. Mm-hmm. So now that's how now I set up Clean Start, the organization, because I realized by myself as an individual, I wouldn't be able to address this. So set up Clean Start Africa, the organization, and then have it have two folds. So we've got the arm that addresses the women, the youth, the children who have already been through this system. Mm-hmm. And we run programs. So we've got, we pay bills and fines. Mm-hmm. That's one aspect of it. So if you go into court and you've got a bill term of, say, 10,000, 20,000, and so on and so forth, we raise funds to pay bills and fines for these women and youth so that they're not separated from their families.
Okay.
So that's one. And then secondly, we've developed programs. So we've got curriculum that we run in the women prisons across the country, the juvenile correctional institutions, and we run those programs to prepare them for when they leave prison.
Okay.
Because one of the biggest gaps we realized was the police will arrest, pass on to prosecution and judiciary will then pass on to prisons. And then after prisons, the gates will open and back into the society with no one to hold their hands for them to begin rebuilding their lives. And that's where Clean Start comes in. So we receive them at the date of their release, welcome them into what we call chapters. So we've got groups across the country that receive, and these are groups of formerly incarcerated people. They also have representation from the church, the local administrators, families. So there's a community that is waiting for you. When you join the group helps you with a decent means of livelihood.
Okay.
So we fundraise again to empower them economically. And then we continue with things such as civic education, you know, so that when you're arrested, you know your rights, you know, and all that we could do to prevent these people from going through this cycle again. Because I remember in prison watching so many women leave prison and then just in the span of serving my 1 year sentence,
come back.
They've come right back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do you come back here? And they're like, number one, the stigma, no one wants us on the outside. Number two, I have absolutely nothing to do. Like, genuinely, I have no capital. And so I went back to hawking. I went back to prostitution. I have no certificate of good conduct. It's now even worse. And so that's how come I'm right back here.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I have a roof over my head here. Mm-hmm. So, like, prison is a way of survival as well.
Okay. So you're actually working with the government now?
Yes.
In these programs?
In this program.
Okay.
Literally, we've partnered with the State Department of Corrections. So we work very closely with Kenya Prison Service.
Yeah.
We work very closely with probation and aftercare to ensure that those who have come into this system are not just going through the system for the sake of going through the system, but there's a plan. So through our programs, through fundraising and all that kind of stuff. So that's one side, ensuring that these people stay within society.
Yeah.
On the other hand, now addressing the system, because it's so good to work with the thousands who are going through the system. But if the system remains the same, it will even tire you to keep trying to
And then come back.
It's
circular. But how do you make sure? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
When we were talking about your story, there was an issue on the process that was followed in terms of how you were treated and what rights you were given at the beginning. There was an issue with the case itself and potential corruption there or anything that was handled there. There was the issue of the, again, process with the bail, because you were not given opportunity or there's a cutoff period and you have to raise the funds and the weekend comes and you're still in jail. Then there's a process after the bail and coming back and forth in court. And I think that's the one that even people who are not criminals face a very long period of having to wait for their case to be heard and determined. Mm-hmm. And then there's a place after of the appeal and even that process to taking 8 months before you were even able to get a bond for the appeal. Mm-hmm. So all of those different pain points we need to address in some way. How do we make sure? Because you're right.
Yeah.
The criminal justice system exists for a reason. But there is fundamental issues with what you have identified that prevent us from any growth point.
Exactly.
How do we make sure that is being addressed?
Yeah. So I am so glad that we have made quite some strides. For example, we are in partnership with the Director of Public Prosecution, the Office of the ODPP, and we're working together to look at especially the petty offenses. How do we divert them from going into court? So that, you know, that trickle-down impact does not continue, not just on them, but to their families and the communities where they come from. And I'm so glad that the Director of Public Prosecution has our ear, because he's taken time to understand how he can make it better from the point of prosecution. Because I believe he's got so much power to ensure that from the point of arrest to coming into court, they interject at that point so that only those with criminal minds who are a danger to society continue with the prosecution. And so that courts, prisons are not overwhelmed because every Tom, Dick and Harry is there. But they are really addressing the criminals. So I'm so glad about this partnership that we have with the Director of Public Prosecution and the Office of the ODPP saying, let's come together and begin to look at how Kenya can address especially those who don't need to go through this system. But even for those who go through this system, then ensuring that their rights, dignity is still upheld as much as their freedom has been taken away. So I'm very grateful for the Office of the ODPP for that. And then the judiciary, say when they have the colloquiums, they invite us, which is just incredible, because we're able to speak to the magistrates and the judges for them to hear firsthand, you know, and that's why I don't tire sharing my story. And also the thousands of women who've been through our programs who are thriving now, coming back to share their stories at the magistrates and judges colloquiums and the judiciary listening in to the impact they have when they make those judgments, whether they sentence the women or the youth. And I love that they give us that year because when the magistrates and the judges hear this, then it helps them as they're making these judgments know that
there's an impact,
You know, and what improvements do they need to make. For example, one of the wins that we have had so far, a woman will be arrested, prosecuted, and now is in court. But in my time, the magistrate or the judge would never ask or want to know, are you a mother? And if you're a mother, where are the children? But now when a file comes into court and there are children involved, the magistrate will know through a pink file that will be inserted in my file. And that way we can become accountable of the children I'm leaving behind, or the children who are accompanying me into prison. And if they are accounted for, then that means whether it's financially from Treasury, we can budget for these children, whether it's their, you know, their rights as far as education is concerned, where they live, and so on and so forth. So that you know that as much as it's Teresa who has been arrested, there's also a child or children who are being left behind or who are accompanying her
to
prison.
That pink slip goes into the file.
Goes into
and that's an indication that there's children involved.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's a win.
It's a huge win. And now, and we've got a full policy around children of incarcerated parents now that was launched in July of 2022. And then now from that, there's so much programming and other advocacy work that's coming in just based off that policy that was launched. Over and above that, you know, we advocate a lot on change of some of the laws around the petty offenses. So our aim with advocating for these laws is to have them deleted from our statute books, because Njeri, these laws were, you know, came into be during the colonial times, 6 years ago. And these laws came in where the colonizers were, you know, subjugating the locals because they wanted to take the land. And therefore, there were areas you couldn't be seen walking, or they were trying to control movement. So when we've got a law around loitering, you know, that's not a criminal offense. If you're loitering, what we need to do with you is ensure that you're well engaged and not taken into prison to be combined with a murderer or someone who robs violently. What we need to ensure is that we are not addressing social economic issues in the country using the criminal justice lens. So our department, you know, that looks at the systemic changes and works now with the National Police, judiciary, ODPP, Kenya Prison Service, is to see to it that, you know, how do we ensure that our parliamentarians delete these laws that are raining so heavily on our poor, on our vulnerable, and delete those laws, you know, and have laws that suit Kenyans, that speak to Kenyans.
I mean, this is an excellent point. I think, okay, in terms of that advocacy, how do you want, what help do you need with that?
A lot of help.
Okay, tell us.
So, first and foremost, these laws are open to our parliamentarians. And if, you know, we've already taken, you know, there's a bill in parliament around the petty offenses.
Okay.
So it's not been given priority, but if we could have it prioritized and passed into law, Kenyans will celebrate in the sense that a policeman can't arrest you for something petty and then have you incarcerated because the impact, and besides, we're using those taxes in a punitive manner when we could use those taxes to better ourselves in development.
Correct.
So if parliamentarians could give that bill on the petty offenses a priority and have it ascended into law in this country, it will be a very huge win for Kenya. So that's one. Secondly, according to the research that we have done and from our own personal experiences being into this criminal justice spaces in prison, in the judiciary, and so on and so forth, 81% of the people going through this process have no legal representation. So people such as the Law Society of Kenya, other advocates in the country, if we could find a system of pro bono representation, because this 81% can't afford legal representation.
Yeah.
And that's why they're behind bars. It will help us clear and offer justice to this 81%.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the other huge win we can have as a country if we accorded these people the representation. The third, and I'll talk about a fourth one. The third one, 76%, and this is government statistic, 76% of incarcerated people in this country have been incarcerated because of petty offenses.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we've talked about prioritizing the bill that's in parliament so that we don't have the 76% going into prison unnecessarily. But I want to talk about this 76% that is in due to petty offenses.
Currently,
as this conversation is happening. There's what we call decongestion of prisons and other avenues that the criminal justice actors come together to reduce the population that's behind bars. We know that 76% is in because of petty offenses. It has its trickle-down impact from the point of how much the government is spending in terms of billions. I mean, it's about, it's quite some billions, I think, almost 5 billion just to feed these people.
These 76%.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if we could use these billions to invest in this 76% decent means of livelihood, the country will have used its finances in a way that there will be taxpayers. Instead of using the tax money in this way,
you can create taxpayers.
Exactly, and they contribute to the GDP of the country. So that's a huge proportion that I would like the president, the criminal justice actors, our treasury to look at and just say, in this financial year that's coming up, instead of using 5 billion to feed these people in prison, why don't we take that 5 billion and take the 76% and invest in their decent means of livelihood? Now, Clean Start has a model, You know, because then they would, where do we begin? You do not, the government does not need to begin wondering, where do we begin? For the last 10 years in this country, we have been investing in those very people through funds that we raise from, you know, different donors in the country, corporates, and across the world, philanthropists. Mm-hmm. And we invest in them, and the success rate shows that 85% of them do not go back into the petty offenses.
They do not reoffend.
They do not reoffend. So we've got a model, a working model already, and that's why we're working with the ODPP, Kenya Prison Service, and the probation and aftercare. So if we can take that 5 billion and invest in these 76%, we will give our model. So it's a plug and play,
yeah,
and we can do that as a pilot in the coming financial year. And then the fourth point that I want to talk about is my appeal to the country Kenya now, because everyone has a role to play, whether it's the church, school, families, mm-hmm, and other local administrators. An individual doesn't fail by themselves. By the time that youth is going into prison or that woman is going into prison, the school has failed. The church has failed, and the family and community has failed. And we are continuing with our lives as if that doesn't matter. It matters, because the more of the low socioeconomic demographic is going into prison, not because of crimes, but because of the pressure that has dawned on them, it trickles down to affect us and impact us one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So I would say to Kenya as a whole, plus our government, we all have a role to play. And through Clean Start Africa, the various programs that we have, let's plug in together, collaborate, and look at this issue of criminalizing poverty together.
Mm.
And then each one of us, whether it's the school, whether it's our families and communities and society, whether it's the church, play the role we need to play so that we don't let down the very vulnerable in our society.
Yeah. I mean, Teresa, you speak with so much passion and understanding of the issue. Don't you think that this is what you were brought on this earth to do rather than banking?
Oh, my word. Now looking at it from that perspective, difficult as the journey to this point has been, I will answer yes.
Because honestly, I mean, it is such a turnaround, and I'm really, really so glad to meet you, because you are a real model and example of something that you can take a horrible situation and turn it around for the betterment of our society. And I think that's what you're trying to achieve.
Indeed.
In terms of, first of all, I wanted to ask, how are your parents? Because they have been through all of this
all
with
of
you.
This, mm-hmm. Yeah. And thanks for asking about them. They have been such a rock throughout the, you know, from arrest to date.
Like, I could just cannot imagine.
You know, by the grace of God, they have, you know, they were the ones who supported me to set up Clean Start. So my father is the one who gave me the initial money to register Clean Start. By that time, all my savings were done. Like, I was zero minus. Yeah. I was actually depending on him a lot. So, you know, supported me to not just start Clean Start, which is now celebrating its 10th year anniversary.
That's amazing.
And running a social enterprise in Kenya is tough. You know, you've got payroll, you've
raising
got the statutories,
funds,
raising funds, running the programs across the country. It's heavy. And, you know, I say that to really thank my parents for through and through, even when we hit bumps, maybe funding has delayed or, you know, we're going through a tough season to date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still step in and they are like, how can we help as before things get back in order, you know, to date. So I'm very grateful for them for being that backbone and, you know, for believing in Kenya.
Gosh, God bless them. And yeah, then what about your child?
She's doing well. She's now 15.
Wow.
And has a brother who's 13. So my daughter, Omar, and I have a son who's 13 called Uhuru. because I was blessed with him after I got vindicated. So my children literally are, you know, part of the justice system. And they're doing well. And I believe that they too, in their generation, will also contribute towards making Kenya and Africa a much better, humane, just country.
I mean, we can only hope for that. And I would say, from an advice perspective, if you were to advise someone who's going through something like this today, what would you tell them, having gone through it yourself?
First and foremost, maintain integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's we Kenyans, you know, when we talk about corruption, it takes two to tango. If the criminal justice system is corrupt, someone is willing to tango corrupt, and be that corrupt. I mean, they're not corrupt by themselves. Yeah. It's we.
Mm-hmm.
So maintain integrity, you know, put in your best case forward. Even though I went through a very difficult time before I got justice, I have faith in the criminal justice system in the sense that it was just, were it not for the few corrupt individuals, I still got justice. And having been on the outside now working with the criminal justice actors, there's a lot of goodwill
mm-hmm.
to bring change. And indeed, I have seen a lot of effort, whether it's within the judiciary or the State Department of Corrections or even with the prosecution. I have seen a lot of goodwill to offer justice to Kenyans.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's all, you know, put in our best foot forward. We keep talking about this incredible country that we want. It's we Kenyans who will build that incredible country.
I mean, that's true.
That we want.
That's
you know.
True.
So if you're going through this, very sorry, especially if you're innocent. And you know, I would say to them, if you can reach out to us, a Clean Start, we're very open, especially given the allyship that we have within the system, to see how integrity and justice.
I mean, we'll definitely put a link to your business. We'll definitely put a link to you. We'll do everything that we can to make sure that you get the support that you need. In terms of someone running a business as well, because you're a founder and you're fundraising as well, what would you say?
Yeah.
What advice would you give? What support do you need?
Yeah. Honestly, I really thank you for all the questions that you're asking, because we need sponsorship as far as scholarships are concerned. Remember, the children who are left on the outside by the incarcerated mothers, we meet the scholarships for their education, primary, high school, all the way to higher institutions of learning. You could sponsor our programs that run in the correctional institutions and say, these funds, I want them to go towards the running of the programs. Or you could say, you know, I want to support the reintegration beginning of the businesses that we run. You know, we run salons, we run the eco-friendly briquettes, and so the various businesses that we run for the people who are coming out of prisons. But over and above the cash, there's a lot of in-kind support that people can give. Believe you me, just right from clothing, just imagine what is it you would like to feel, you know, that your esteem is back. You've been in prison for 20 years. You have no clothes whatsoever. If someone came and gave you decent clothes to wear, you know, that begins to build your esteem.
Do you have like a collection point?
Yes.
So
yes,
you have all of the...
Yeah,
is that all on the website?
That, yes, all of it. And we'll share all
those things
those details.
We can definitely do. And I think we can definitely support in that way.
Yeah, mentorship.
Mentorship,
you know,
as well.
Yeah, there's so much that you could offer of your time. Even just having time with the Clean Start team itself that goes out there to offer this work. A word of advice to, say, the comms team, a word of advice to the program officers and so on and so forth. You've got a skill out there, that financial management and so on and so forth. We need both cash and in-kind support.
In-kind support.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, Teresa, thank you so much. Honestly, I don't think you've left anything on the table for us to understand exactly what you went through, to understand what is potentially what people are going through in this country at the moment,
yeah,
and the work that you're doing at the moment. I mean, it's just admirable. I really want to thank you for this time.
My pleasure.
It's eye-opening, especially for all of us who are sitting comfortably in our warm houses at this time, to see that there is things going on around us that we can contribute and help to promote and make sure that it's better for everyone involved. So,
indeed,
Teresa, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I cannot tell you how much I thank you for this time. It's been very important.
Thank you, Njeri, for all you do and for amplifying our voice.
Yeah.
We're so grateful.
And we'll continue to do that. And we'll make sure that we put the links and continue to support you throughout. Thank you so much, Teresa.
My pleasure.
Gosh, you guys, if you've not listened to this interview, I don't know where you have been, because it's been eye-opening. And very, very informative for us to understand what is going on in this country and how we can help. I'll leave on this note. See you next month, everyone.